The Spitfire Sisters by Margaret Dickinson. Read by Kate Rawson. Chapter 1. London, February 1933. You don't mind Daisy coming to stay with us during the Easter school holidays, do you? George Allender smiled at his wife. Of course not, Pips. I'm extremely fond of her. His smile broadened. She reminds me more and more of you, he chuckled. She resembles her mother in looks, but you in character, without a doubt. Pips pulled a comical face. I don't think that's a compliment to Daisy. Certainly not in my mother's estimation, anyway. Pips and George had been married for almost 2 years, which George freely acknowledged had been the happiest 2 years of his life. They had been lovers for several years before that, but their marriage had been on hold for several reasons, the most insurmountable at the time being the disapproval of George's daughter, Rebecca. But at last the young woman had seen just how much the pair loved each other and had capitulated. Since then, Pips and Rebecca, not so far apart in age, had become good friends. She often stayed with them at their apartment in Clapham on her days off from her work as a nurse at the London Hospital, even though she had her own living accommodation near the hospital. Although Pips and George now spent most of their time in London, they frequently visited Pips' family, the Maitlands, at Doddington Hall in Lincolnshire. Pips couldn't let many weeks go by without seeing the niece she adored and catching up with all the latest village gossip. Pips pressed her hands together. Good. I must make arrangements to take her to Brooklands whilst she's here. George's smile faded a little. And for a flight in one of Mitch Hammond's aircraft, I suppose. Of course. It's the highlight of a holiday with us. She met her husband's gaze. But I won't break my promise. I won't take her racing or start to drive again myself. We'll just watch, as we always do. There'll be a race meeting on Easter Monday. We'll go then. George sighed inwardly and, not for the first time, struggled with his conscience. Before they'd been due to marry in December 1930, Pips had promised him that she would no longer race her car at Brooklands after their marriage, though she would continue to go flying there. During the very last race in which she'd taken part, she'd had an accident on the track that had left her unconscious for 3 days, and it had meant that their wedding had been put off for a few months. She'd been nursed by Rebecca, and that was when the girl had seen for herself her father's devotion to Pips. And his name had been the first Rebecca had heard Pips utter when she had begun to regain consciousness. Despite her promise, George knew that Pips missed the excitement of racing. She was still an honorary member of a group of women who raced there, the Brooklands girls, as they called themselves, but she met up with them now in a social capacity, rather than as a participant alongside them on the track. Flying, however, was a different matter. She could not give up that, and having gained her pilot's license, she was able to take Daisy flying too. George, who suffered acute air sickness, would not go with her, but Daisy loved it and longed for the day when she too could learn to fly. So we'll go up to Lincolnshire on Friday evening for the weekend, weather permitting, and arrange everything. It'll be something for us all to look forward to through the winter months. And besides, it's high time I beat my dear brother at chess again. I'll be losing my touch if I allow too many weeks to pass without challenging him. She paused and then asked, "Will you be able to take an extra day off from work so that we can make it a long weekend?" George pulled a face. Last week I would have said yes without hesitation, but the news from Germany has put everyone in a bit of a flap. I'll have to see what I can do. George, a former major in the British Army, now worked in an advisory capacity at the War Office, situated in a grand building on the corner of Horse Guards Avenue and Whitehall. Pips frowned. News? What news? Adolf Hitler becoming Chancellor. Pip stared at him in disbelief. The little corporal who tried to seize power.